Smart Eyewear Highlight, sponsored by Innovative Eyewear, developer and provider of cutting-edge Lucid Bluetooth glasses. Lucid Smart Eyewear is multifunctional, meeting the needs of the optical, hearable, and digital assistant markets. Innovative Eyewear, NASDAQ trading symbol LUCY, Lucy, web address lucyd.co.
The proceeding may contain forward-looking statements which may not be realized.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. I welcome John Bolton, former ambassador to the United Nations from the United States, former national security advisor, writing most recently at the Wall Street Journal about after Afghanistan. After. John, a very good evening to you. The conversation between Vladimir Putin, president of Russia, and Xi Jinping, president of the People's Republic of China, in these last days, points to a meeting, virtually or in person, in Dushanbe, the capital of Tajikistan, to discuss the region, the continent, after the U.S. withdrawal from Afghanistan, after the close of the 20-year conflict. You write in the Wall Street Journal of Moscow and Beijing looking at Afghanistan and the events of these last days and looking for advantages or risks. Let's start with the advantages from Moscow's point of view. Is Moscow now the de facto enforcer of security in Central Asia? Have they now been looked to by the stands for future security? Good evening to you, John.
Well, good evening. Look, ever since 9/11, when we went to the stands and asked for their help and got it in varying degrees to overthrow the Taliban and al-Qaeda, they've seen an American presence in Afghanistan and overflight rights that they've granted us and other things like that as being an insurance policy against the Russians. That's all gone now. And Moscow will move in, and they've got an important argument for fear of Taliban spreading Islamic radicalism back into the five Central Asian republics. China is also worried about extremism coming into Xinjiang. But most of all, what they see is a hole in the strategic environment that we have left. Somebody's got to fill. They'll be happy to fill it. And it mutually reinforces their other aspirations in their own geography.
Right. You write very carefully that Beijing and in Moscow enjoy a natural division of labor in threatening America and its allies in three distinct theaters. I believe we've started with one of those theaters, right, John? Central Asia.
Right. The broader Middle East, all the way from the Mediterranean, really right through to Afghanistan.
However, I want to turn to the East Asia theater, I'm presuming. This has to do with the first island chain, Japan, stretching down through the Philippines and then including Southeast Asia, and we'll add Australia and New Zealand, also in challenged by the People's Republic of China. Does this Afghanistan withdrawal change the scenario for Beijing in that theater?
Well, this is one of the theaters where I think a lot of America's friends and allies are gravely worried about what the real meaning of the American withdrawal from Afghanistan is. Does it signal the beginning of a broader withdrawal? Obviously, no Afghan government could hope to survive once it became clear the United States was leaving. And that is the explanation for the collapse of the Afghan government. If you're in the army, why fight to the bitter end when you know what the outcome's going to be? So in places that are threatened, people who are concerned, people on Taiwan, people in Southeast Asia, and in India, which is going to be, I think, potentially a very important partner for the United States in dealing with China in the coming years, they are worried. Can they count on the United States, and for how long? How long is our attention span really? And Afghanistan gives them a very bad answer.
Beijing is occupied by the worldwide pandemic, the slowdown in recovery, and also the challenge that it faces now in India. Is Beijing strengthened, or do you think they're encouraged by our sudden exit from Afghanistan? Was this a surprise to them in Beijing, John?
Yes, I think it's a surprise to everybody, adversary and ally alike. So what China's going to do is shore up its interest in Afghanistan, concerned to staunch the flow of radical Muslims into Xinjiang. They've already got substantial investment in Afghanistan mineral development. That's how they've helped finance the Taliban indirectly. They'll do more of that. This will give them an enormous lift in increasing China's already significant influence over Pakistan. And this is part of a larger effort at encircling India on the Asian landmass. So this is fits seamlessly into China's larger threat, which really for the United States is the existential challenge of the 21st century.
I've heard talk, John, just talk, no polls here, that Taipei has reason to consider now that it's exposed and it's not confident who will back it. Is that reasonable, John, or is that just anxiety in general?
Well, I think they're very worried, but I think what you've seen in the past couple of months is this denouement in Afghanistan was at least predictable. Maybe the Biden administration didn't predict it, but plenty of other people were worried about it, of significantly increased discussions between Japan and Taiwan. Taiwan obviously desperately needs that, but here's the real key. In Japan, the perception that the defense of Japan ultimately against China cannot be sustained if Taiwan succumbs to annexation into Greater China. So this is a significant step for Japan, and I don't think we know the full ramifications. I'm not sure Japan does, but it certainly should be welcomed by the United States. This is a mature, responsible democracy now acting in its national self-interest in a way that helps bolster U.S. resolve. At least I hope it does. I think we should base American troops on Taiwan to show the strength of our commitment, perhaps home porting ships there, which would be very advantageous if a crisis developed, if they were already in the region.
To Europe, to the other theater on the other side of the Eurasian landmass. Moscow has been on the defensive for many years after the failure of the Soviet Union and its inadequate prosperity, inadequate for everyone who lives there. However, right now, Afghanistan, does it translate into risk to Kiev? Does it translate into risk to Tbilisi? Does it translate into risk to Vilnius and the other Baltic states, John?
Yes, I think they certainly read it that way. The NATO countries have more reason to be encouraged, but countries like Ukraine, Moldova, Belarus, Georgia, Azerbaijan, Armenia that are not part of any of our alliances, I think are quite worried. And Central and Eastern European countries, the new Europe, as Donald Rumsfeld once described it, are very worried as well. You know, we need a stronger NATO. And what's happened is the European reaction, much of it in France and Germany, the reaction to our withdrawal is to say we need a stronger European defense arrangement, which is typically what they say. It's always rhetoric. It's never resources. We have the arrangement in place. It's called NATO. What the Europeans need to do is step up their game and participate fully, consistent with their economic development.
I puzzle about Vladimir Putin looking at the elections pending, John, in Germany within weeks and in France next year. Does this give an opportunity to Vladimir Putin to romance Berlin, to romance Paris, knowing that the United States is not strong?
Well, and to try and split the Western alliance, this is something that from the very formation of NATO, Moscow has tried to do. We don't know how the election in Germany will turn out, of course, but polls right now put Angela Merkel's Christian Democrats third. She's retiring, and that's part of their problem. But if you could imagine a social democratic green coalition running Germany, does anybody seriously think that coalition is going to increase defense spending, which is already well below the 2% of GDP commitment made in Cardiff, Wales back in 2014? Now, if they can't make that commitment with a Christian democratic government, what are they going to do with a socialist government? This is a huge opportunity for Russia.
Because we can't know those elections, I want to turn back to Vladimir Putin's opportunities, John. It's long been said that he plays a weak hand expertly. At this point, is he suddenly drawing high cards, John, to continue the metaphor?
Yeah, no, I think this is a gift to him. And I think it was as unexpected to him as it was to Xi Jinping. I think he thought ultimately the Afghan government might fall, but I don't think he expected it this quickly. So I think he's trying to calculate what is the best place to press his advantage. We have the Ukrainian President Zelensky meeting with Biden at the White House this week, and Zelensky is going to be very worried about what the withdrawal from Afghanistan might mean for Ukraine, which has some of its territory already annexed by Russia and other parts of it filled with so-called volunteers from Russia. So this is not an abstract question for the Ukrainians.
John Bolton, former ambassador to the United Nations from the United States, former national security advisor, writing at the Wall Street Journal about Beijing and Moscow after Afghanistan. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Bash.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.